morning and welcome to church. A special welcome to those who are visiting us today or listening online. My name's Simon. Helping me in today's service are our musicians, Sam, Rosemary and Linda. Reading to us from the Bible will be Stuart. Leading us in prayer will be Yung Lan, and Trevor will bring us our Bible teaching. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages, backgrounds, who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way according to his word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. Trevor, could you give us an intro?
Sure, I'll just put the slide up for you. Today we're continuing the sermon series through the Lord's Prayer, and today we're asking the question, what does it mean to actually hallow God's name? So that gives us, that's enough to know now, all right?
Thank you. Our mission focus for August is on Bush Church Aid Society. Our focus on a ministry of Anglicare is on Anglican hospitals chaplains. Our focus today is on Moore College. The sentence of scripture for today, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Please stand and let us sing our first song, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Praise him.
Please take a moment to greet people near you, and the young people may now leave for Kids Church. Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through His boundless goodness and mercy. We ought to admit our sins to God at all times, and especially when we come together like this, to give thanks for the benefits we have received from Him, to offer the praise that is due to Him, to hear His holy word, and to ask Him to supply whatever we need. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart in full assurance of faith, and pray together, Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who repent according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God desires that no one should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. We confess our sins in response to his call. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. The Bible reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 to 31. You can find it on page 719 of your pew Bibles, on the screen, or printed in your news and notes. As Stuart comes up to lead us in, let us pray. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Isaiah 40, 12 to 31. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They looked for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, that he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And this is the word of the Lord.
What a great Bible reading, and we'll come to that a little later in the Bible teaching. Simon, thanks for leading us today, brother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that you're present here with us today. Still our hearts, we pray, as we listen to your word expounded and taught. May your Spirit guide us into truth. Help me to teach your word correctly, and indeed, may we be encouraged by what we hear from you, dear God. We ask this in your name and for your glory. Amen. Please open up your Bibles to the Bible reading if you've closed it up, or to the handout that's inside your bulletin. Whilst you're there, I'll just draw your attention again. We have a new Bible study little time inside the your news and notes each week this time. So it's worth just having a little quick little look before I start again. In it, you'll just see there's a little square in the top left-hand corner. There's pencils usually in the pews, or you may have a pencil on you. Just, it's often good just to, at the end of the sermon or at some point during it, just to write something down, one or two little points that you think you might need to remember from hearing today's Bible teaching. There's a little space there for you to do just that. Of course, the passage from which we're looking at is there. It's the Lord's Prayer that they're looking at today, and particularly the line, "Hallowed be your name." What does that mean? And of course, the Bible reading is there too. And then if you turn over In your own private prayer time during the week, or in a Bible study group, there's a little prayer there that you can say before you do your little Bible study time, in reminding yourself of what we heard the previous Sunday, a little prayer there. And then usually one or two or three little questions that relate and bring back to mind remembrance what was taught in the scriptures in the sermon time and applying to the passage itself as well. A little time and then a little prayer at the end to guide you in how to pray in response to the study. So that's a good little handy thing. They'll be there at a different one every week, but similar. Okay, I draw your attention to that. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. What does it mean? How do I know that I'm actually hallowing God's name? You may have heard the story of the little boy in Sunday school who, when asked by his Sunday school teacher, "Does anybody know God's name?" To which the little boy replied, "I do, miss. It's Harold." And he says, "Why do you say that?" asked the teacher. "Well, it's what our Lord taught us to call him in the Lord's Prayer. Harold, be thy name." Forgive me if you've heard that little story. But our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed. What does it mean? How do I know? How do we know that we're hallowing God's name? Well, this is the second of the sermons in the series on the Lord's Prayer. And if you missed last week's, you can listen to it online. It'll be there for next week as well, and through the series. But last week we thought on what it meant to call God our Father. It meant we can have a close personal relationship with God as Father, like no other father relationship that we have here on earth. It's a close personal relationship with God through our adoption by God, by salvation, lived out by faith, won for us at the cross of Christ. It's a privilege that God has given to us. And Jesus actually invites us not to hesitate, but to actually come to our Heavenly Father as a child and to pray to him anytime, anywhere, about anything. And as I tell my kindergarten scripture class, and I tell you too, God doesn't stick his fingers in his ears, all right? He listens to us because he loves us. But we also learned that the relationship with God, though personal, is also a corporate one. One that we live out in relationship equally with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a relationship we have with God as children of God that comes from with a responsibility to live out our relationship in community with other believers. Being a Christian, a child of God, is no solo activity. If anything, I wanted to for you to hear that was last week, and that's why Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, "This is how you are to pray, not my Father, but our Father," to remind us that we're a family and we're in a relationship with God together as his children, brothers and sisters in Christ. So it comes with a responsibility as well to one another. And this means we can not only personally draw on the care and guidance of our Heavenly Father, but we can expect that care and that guidance to be received and experienced through our brothers and sisters in Christ. I should expect that and experience that from you and you from me, as God cares for us. Our Father who lives in heaven is our Father. But today we think on hallowed be your name, God's name. What does hallow mean? And how do I know I'm hallowing God's name? Well, in the Bible, God has a number of names. lots of names, in fact. Names that describe who he is, what he's done, and what he will do. Elohim is one. It's the very first name of God mentioned in the Bible in the opening chapter of Genesis. Let us make man in our own image. In the image of God, Elohim, he made us. Male and female, he made us in his image. And so the first name of God demonstrates in the Bible his emphasizing role as creator of us. Adonai is another one, meaning my Lord, my beloved one, my Lord. El Shaddai, God Almighty, is what El Shaddai means. Yahweh, he who brings into existence what exists. Jehovah, well, which is another word for Yahweh without saying Yahweh, all right, because the Jews were quite particular about saying God's name and not misusing it. And, of course, I Am, the name that God revealed to Moses in the burning bush, the name that Jesus called himself. I am who I am. Can you think of any others? Call them out, if you know. Any other names for God in the Bible? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That thing brings back memories of a song, doesn't it? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Any others? Redeemer, Holy Redeemer, Creator, Emmanuel, yeah, lots and lots. Good Shepherd, names for Jesus as well too, all through there. Lots of names. Now our name, your name, my name, has purpose. Our name is, of course, what our parents called us, what others know us by, and by what we identify ourselves to others. My name is Trevor, and you identify your name to me. Our name actually sums up all that a person thinks, knows, feels, and believes about us. Just take a moment to think of someone and mention them by name. You think about who they are, what you feel about them, what you think about them, all those different things. Your name, our names, have purpose. It opens doors to allow possibilities, or it closes them, depending on whether what one thinks, knows, feels, and believes about us. Our name is either positive to others, favourable, or it's negative, unfavourable. A name that opens doors to allow possibilities is often referred to as having a good name. And likewise, a bad name closes doors. What we do or don't do contributes to the sum of what our name means to another. But what I mean is that we make what our name means to others. A name can also be tarnished. It can be damaged by both the truth being told and lies also of another. And depending upon the belief in our good name and maintenance of it in the thoughts of others and in our own, it will determine the extent of it being tarnished and how damaged it will be and how easily it can be repaired or not. The scriptures remind us from Proverbs 22 verse 1 that a good name is more desirable than great riches. And I like this one. Give a little thought from Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1. A good name is better than fine perfume. It's worth actually mulling over that one and thinking over that one. A good name is better than fine perfume. The scriptures also teach us how to gain a good name. From Proverbs 3 verse 3 and 4, we read here, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man." Love and faithfulness towards God and towards others is what wins a good name in the eyes of God and of man. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it," said Jesus. "Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." How good is your name thought of? How good do you think your name is in the sight of God and man? The scriptures tell us that the name of the Lord our God is good. Psalm 52, verse 9. For what you have done, I will always praise you, writes the psalmist. In the presence of your faithful people, I will hope in your name, for your name is good. God's name is also worthy of respect and honor. We read in Psalm 54, verse 6, I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you, Lord. I will praise your name, for it is good. And of course, then, why we have the third of the Ten Commandments. Do you remember them from 3 weeks ago? The third one? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses God's name. Why is God's name good? Well, we read in Exodus 30, verse 19, the Lord said to Moses, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I am who I am, declares God. When asked by a rich young ruler, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You may recall Jesus' reply. Do you remember his reply? He said, before answering the question to the rich young ruler, Jesus wanted to know what this young man thought about Jesus, what he recognized about him in his name. And he said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And Jesus was helping this young man to hopefully realize, do you realize who I am, what you're actually saying to me, and that I am God there in the midst of you. I am the one who can actually provide for you the eternal life that you're looking for. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does it mean? How do I know if I'm hallowing God's name? Hallowed actually means holy. Hallow is not a word we use these days, unless for a little bit of an English accent, so we might sort of say to each other, hello, everybody, hello. But hallow is not a word we normally use these days. It's an old-fashioned word. Though we hear the word around a certain time of the year, in October. Can you think when we hear the word named? Halloween. That's right. We read Halloween, the evening before a holy day, All Hallows Day. It's the day for all holy ones, or it's called All Saints Day, or as it's known more recently as All Christians Day, all right? Verse 31st of October for in the scriptures, the holy ones, the saints, are not a delete little group of people. It's all Christians who have been saved by all Christians, saved by God, declared in the sight of God as holy in its sight, in his sight. It's a day set aside in the church year calendar, or Hallows Day, to remember the promise of God to all believers, all holy ones, who have been made holy in the sight of God through the cross of Christ. It's a time to remember on that day, on All Hallows Day, of Christ's return, of the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come that we say in our statements of belief. Hallow means holy. But what does hallow be your name mean? It means I will respect, I will fear, I will separate from all else and acknowledge God only as the All-Holy One. That's what hallowed be your name means. Mary the mother of our Lord, sums it up perfectly. When Elizabeth, her cousin, says to her early on in Mary's pregnancy, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her," Mary's reply was this. Remember? "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." To hallow God's name means to acknowledge God as holy, to glorify him, to give him all glory and honor in the way in which we speak, in the way in which we act, in the way in which we live, in all we do. It's to rejoice in God, our Savior, for he has been and is and always be mindful of the humble state of we, his children. For the Mighty One, our Heavenly Father, has done great things for us, hasn't he? We are indeed blessed. Not only Mary, we all are blessed because of the cross of Christ. The Lord has and will fulfill all his promises to us. The cross and resurrection are proof of his Spirit, and his Spirit confirms it in us. Holy is his name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We heard Stuart read to us from the Bible, from Isaiah 40, a wonderful passage. Of course, our mind drifts to Chariots of Fire and the wonderful movie that was, but more importantly, to the words that was described here about our God. But look there at verses 27 there. What's the reason for God actually saying the things that he says about himself there? He says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." The whole context of everything that's in there is around those questions there, those two questions. God's saying to his people, "Why do you complain about me? Why do you think that your way is not known to me, or I'm not interested in you? I am your heavenly Father," God would say to us. And what does he say to us? The scriptures read, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Do you not know? Has it not been told to you? The Lord, your heavenly Father, is the everlasting God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen. Simon's going to lead us in a psalm now and then in a song as well too. Thanks, Simon.
Please join me in saying Psalm 86, verses 1 to 11 together. "Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God, have mercy on me. For I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you, because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Please, let us stand and sing together 10,000 Reasons.
Thank you.
As we stand together, let's say what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Hi everyone, my name's Susie Wright. I'm doing the Advanced Diploma of Bible Missions and Ministry. I have been a Christian since my early 20s. I got into uni with a friend from church, and it didn't take long for me to realise I was different to her. And she offered to do Christian Explained, or whatever course it was at the time. Bit by bit, just understood grace for the first time. That was a very gradual opening up of my eyes and heart from God. So very glad that he's a patient God. My husband and I did college with toddlers and babies 17 years ago, and I would love to have done more subjects then, but you know, I was knee deep in episodes of play school and picking Play-Doh out of the carpet. And the turning point was we were missionaries in Fiji a few years ago, and we adopted a baby while we were there, a little boy called Timothy when he was a newborn. Didn't realise that he had significant health issues. And 2 years ago, at the age of 5, he died very suddenly and very shockingly. And it was, it was a huge shock to us. And I think I, like a scared, distressed little girl, just ran to the arms of my, like a little girl runs to his daddy when she's scared. That's what I did. I didn't know where else to go. The whole process of applying for college and everything that went with that, sort of, I felt like it happened without me. And it has been really a massive privilege and a real comfort and a balm. So I'm really thankful. It's been really helpful being with like-minded people who love the Lord. The time is always right to come to college. I think we bring, people my age, bring a different, we've got life experience and we bring something different to the table. There's never a bad time to come and learn the Bible. I don't think anyone's past the point of learning and being stretched. You know, I've done 6 subjects out of 10 now, which is gobsmacking to me. Plans after college, I'm not really 100% sure, but while we were missionaries in Fiji, I was able to be involved in prison ministry, so the women's prison ministry there, doing trauma healing, but doing all sorts of things. And I felt very passionate about that, and I would love to do that somehow in Sydney. I'm also interested in foster care, fostering children, but working within that system somehow. And I love writing, so if you could work out how to tie that into a neat bow, that would be really helpful. Please pray for me that the rest of the time at college is a time where I really savour and sit in God's word and let it change and shape me and grow my relationship with him. There is a lot that we give up to be here, and it's a really precious time. It's investment in our relationship with God. And yeah, just that God would make clear where I could be of use to him. He doesn't have to use me, but it's a privilege that he does. And let's pray that that would become clear as time goes on.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Power and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. A prayer that God will make us more like Christ, his son. Sorry, Father, keep before us the wisdom and love you have revealed in your son. Help us to be like him in word and deed, for he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We start prayer for more college. Heavenly Father, we, your people, give you thanks for the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ and those who first shared it with us. We look at the world around us and see a world corrupted and decaying and people lost and without hope. As Jesus said in his time, the fields are ripe for the harvest. He urged us to pray that you'd send laborers into your harvest so that men, women, and children might hear, believe, and be saved. You have raised up more college to prepare people to spend their lives in a ministry of the word that strengthens your people and reaches out to those who are lost. Would you please draw many people to more college in order to be equipped for that work? Please keep our college faithful to your word, its teachers and students humble and gracious in their ministry of it. And would you provide the college's daily needs so that it might continue this work until the day on which Jesus returns? We thank especially for Susie Wright, whose story and reason for coming to Moore College we've heard today. We thank you for how you have worked in her life in the past, and we pray that she may experience your ongoing care and guidance throughout her remaining time and study at college. We pray that she may treasure her time there, grow in her relationship with you, and in the application of your word to whatever ministry you have installed for her to faithfully fulfill in the future, be it in prison ministry to women, or ministry to those who foster children, or whatever you may have installed for her to do. Father, once again, thank you for more college, and continue to bless all who teach and study there. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Almighty God, we pray for our world. Today we pray for all who are affected by natural disasters such as floods, extreme temperatures, bushfires and mudslides which destroy homes and livelihoods and put lives at risk. Merciful Lord, we pray that people living through such difficult times would find comfort and hope in you. Please provide the practical help that people need in times of emergency. And we also pray those who have more may share and be generous with those who are in need. In the name of Jesus, amen. Lord, we pray for all the countries that are going through conflict and political instability. We ask for peace to be restored. We lift the situation in Niger in West Africa. As a result of a military coup, French and many European nationalities had to escape from Niger and return to their country in emergency. Although there's no attack yet on foreign missionaries, all of them are living through uncertainties and fear due to political unrest. We know Nigerians love peace. Father God, please keep this country to return to peace and political stability so that the work of many Christians can continue to bear fruit. We pray for the work of SIM, serving in mission with Sahel Academy in Niamey and Galmi Hospital. As the hungry season is upon us, as the last harvest has mostly been eaten, and people must scrape by to live, we pray for your mercy, wisdom, and provision as they rely on you. We pray for a peaceful solution to this crisis, and the mission family in Niger will trust in the Lord in this challenging time. We pray for the local hospital staff that they might not feel abandoned by seeing foreign missionaries leave. We also pray the hospital remain open with the remaining staff. You are faithful God. Have mercy, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God of nations, we pray for Australia. Inspire and direct your leaders to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Bring any Australians to a knowledge of the truth about Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all of us. Amen. Father, we thank you for our church family. We thank you for the recent service led by our youth, Orwin, Simon, and Naomi, and the morning tea served by them. We pray that they will continue to grow as mature Christians who love your words and serving you in their local church. We pray now for those who are not well, either mentally or physically, or grieve, or recovering from an injury or operation. You might like to pray for them in silence now. Gracious God, thank you for hearing our prayers. Please bring healing and comfort to all those who suffer or grieve in our midst and in our community. We praise you, Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, stir up the wills of your faithful people that bringing forth the fruit of your good works, we may be abundantly rewarded and eternally grateful to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your ways be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Announcements. Big thing happening next Saturday night for all the men. We have a men's dinner. Those of us who remember the last breakfast and the last dinner, it's a wonderful occasion, so I encourage all men to put their names down on the sheet down the back and join us next Saturday night. On Monday, we have a parish prayer meeting running from 7 to 8 p.m. And later today, Trevor will be leading a service at Chiswick Manor at 3 p.m. and a Bible study at 10:30 on Thursday. If anyone would like to join Trevor at any of these meetings, please let him know. Once again, when we go out for the men's dinner, if you'd like to pray after service, Carol and Dick will be happy to pray for you. Please come to the front of the church. Remember, after church, COVID safety. Thank you for regularly supporting financially Abbotsford Anglican Church, online or via the offertory box at the back of the church. The monthly mission-focused donation envelopes you can find at the end of each pew. Our final song, before we go out to morning tea, let's stand and sing, Blessed Be Your Name. Thank you. sentence of scripture for today. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give of ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.